This is David Duke. Israel has repeatedly demanded that the Russian government ban a number of organizations and imprison their leaders that seek to defend Russian interests from the organized crime of the Jewish oligarchs who have stolen approximately 65% of the natural wealth of Russia. These courageous Russian patriots simply dare to point out the irrefutable fact that many of these criminal Jews are loyal to Israel rather than to Russia, and to the Jewish people rather than the Russian people. Jewish supremacists have gained enormous power in post-Soviet Russia through an international financial criminal network and a litany of criminal actions, including bribery, forgery, extortion, theft, and murder. There is no effective refutation of this assertion, and it's common knowledge not only in Russia but all over the world. For instance, most of the officers of the embattled Yukos Oil Company, which obtained hundreds of billions of dollars of Russian oil resources through bribery and criminal enterprise, are now ensconced in Israel under the protection of the Israeli government. Incredibly, 10 of the 11 immensely powerful oligarchs in Russia are Jews. There is even a very popular television program in Israel called The Oligarchs, which smugly entertains the Israeli people with stories of the oligarchs' immense power over Russia. Every Israeli knows these facts. But if any non-Jew in any other nation in the world dares to speak out about it and object to it, he's condemned as an anti-Semite. The theft of 65% of the natural wealth of Russia by this gang of Jewish criminals certainly has to be the greatest robbery in the history of mankind. Yet instead of urging the strongest condemnation and prosecution of these criminals, the Jewish-dominated media in many Western nations, as well as the United States, instead condemns the Russian people and despises Putin for attempting to prosecute some of these thieves and murderers. Jewish organizations, through their disproportionate political influence in America and Europe, have even caused the sheltering of these criminals from prosecution and extradition. Two of the worst criminals are the billionaires Boris Berezovsky and Vladimir Grudzinski, two active Zionists, with the latter a former head of the Jewish community in Russia. In Russia, a firestorm of indignation arose when it was revealed that Berezovsky, while he was head of Russia's national security, was actually a citizen of Israel. Imagine that, the head of national security of a country being a citizen of another country. An insanity. But so many insanities become commonplace when one deals with the realities of Jewish supremacism. Recently, Berezovsky's leading journalist critic, Paul Klebnikov, the man who exposed Berezovsky's record of murder and theft, was shot to death in front of his family on the streets of Moscow. And shockingly, President Bush has even gotten into the act by inviting one of the Jewish oligarch criminals to the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. Israel's Jewish Fifth Column in Russia demanded unsuccessfully that my book, Jewish Supremacism, be banned. The Russian Prosecutor General, after examining my book for over a year, determined that my book was not anti-Semitic, but a factual rendition of history. They also have sought the prosecution of Boris Mironov, the former press secretary to Boris Yeltsin, for fostering, quote, ethnic hatred, unquote, a criminal offense in Russia from the bygone Soviet era. for simply pointing out the identity and the hateful anti-Russian sentiments of the Jewish oligarchs and the Jewish supremacists in Russia. Mironov wrote the Russian introduction to my book, Jewish Supremacism. In a nation where millions of Russian children are malnourished and cannot receive adequate medical care, Mironov says it's tantamount to murder of these children to allow this gigantic theft of Russia's natural resources and monies, which could be used to alleviate the suffering of these millions. But now, 5,000 intellectuals, sports and entertainment figures, editors and journalists, elected political figures, and even the former Russian world chess champion have decided to fight fire with fire. They say that if the government must prosecute and ban Russian organizations that, quote, stir ethnic hatred against Jews, then it must also ban Jewish organizations that stir ethnic hatred toward Russians and Gentiles. What the courageous 5,000 did was to directly quote from Judaism's most holy books. It is impossible to list here the many hateful quotes from the Jewish Talmud. You can read a number of them completely footnoted in my book, Jewish Supremacism. Much of their scripture equates Gentiles with animals and promotes murder, deceit, slavery, and theft against Gentiles. Now, this may sound fantastic for those learning about this for the first time, but the facts are easily proven by anyone who cares to check them out. The fact is that Judaism's driving force is teaching hatred and distrust of Gentiles. It is the primary reason that they have been able to resist assimilation with Gentiles in Gentile nations for over 2,000 years. From an early age, Jews have been taught to distrust and hate Gentiles for real or imagined crimes against them. Their most holy days center around Gentile persecutions and Jewish aggression against their enemies. They relentlessly speak of the Holocaust, and they blame all Christians with guilt for it. The constant persecution of Jews by Christians or Russians, as portrayed in Jewish materials, certainly stirs up solidarity among Jews and ethnic hatred against Gentiles. You see, to relentlessly talk about crimes committed against the Jewish people by Gentiles in the Holocaust is desirable according to the mass media. In fact, they promote it almost every day of our lives. But if one talks about the preeminent Jewish role in early Bolshevism and their creation of the greatest killing machine in world history, if they talk about, or if anyone talks about, the fact that the Jewish had the preeminent role in the mass murder of millions of Christians during this horrendous regime, or if they talk about the Jewish oligarch theft of most of the resources of Russia with the help of the worldwide Jewish community, then those individuals are, quote, stirring up ethnic hatred, unquote. The 5,000 real leaders of Russia don't really think they'll succeed in getting the hateful Jewish organizations banned. And that's not really what they seek. What they want is that the Russian people are free, that they're free to speak openly about what they believe to be true, that they're free to politically organize for those beliefs and take their message to the people. They demand that the persecution of Mironov and other Russian patriots ceases immediately. Because the government would not dare prosecute Jewish organizations for so-called hate crimes, they hope they will expose the hypocritical nature of prosecuting Russian patriots. And of course, they want Russian leadership, both in economic and political life, to be of the Russians, by the Russians, and for the Russians. Isn't that what Israel wants and demands for its own nation? Isn't that really what every people really want? To put it in the words of a famous American president, we desire a government of, by, and for the people. Such a government is not a government controlled by an alien minority with an agenda and loyalty to something other than to the Russian nation and its well-being. Here's some excerpts from the article in the Jerusalem Post on the 5,000 Russians who are openly opposing Jewish supremacism. Jerusalem Post, April 3, 2005. Mass call to outlaw Jewish groups. Over 5,000 known public activists and members of the clergy in Russia have sent a petition to the state prosecutor's office in which they demand to outlaw Jewish groups. In the petition, the signatories use quotes from Kitzer Shulach Arach, in which they argue, prove their claim that Judaism is a fanatic and racist religion that hates Gentiles. Among those who signed the letter, according to Army Radio, are ex-generals, artists, and the former world champion in chess. Israel's ambassador to Russia, Arkady Milman, called the new affair severe and said that Israel will contact Russian authorities in an attempt to prosecute those responsible for the petition. The recent anti-Semitic petition comes 2 months after about 20 members of the lower Russian parliament house, the State Duma, asked Prosecutor General Vladimir Ustinov to investigate their claims that Jews are fomenting ethnic hatred and provoking anti-Semitism by their actions. Arguing that Jews were to blame for anti-Semitism, the authors of the letter demanded that Jewish groups be outlawed based on legislation against extremism and fomenting ethnic discord. Russia's chief rabbi, Beryl Lazar, said the lawmakers were either insane or quite sane but limitlessly cynical and were hoping to win support by playing the anti-Semitic card. Echoing anti-Semitic tracks of the Tsarist era, the letter's authors accused Jews of working against the interests of countries where they live and of monopolizing power worldwide. They say the United States has become, quote, an instrument for achieving the global aims of Judaism. It is possible to say that the entire democratic world today is under the monetary and political control of international Judaism, which high-profile bankers are openly proud of, the letter says. Along with outlawing Jewish organizations, the lawmakers called for the prosecution of individuals responsible for providing these groups with state and municipal property, privileges, and state financing. Although the article in Israel's leading newspaper, the Jerusalem Post, is very slanted, it is still obvious that the 5,000 leaders in Russia speak the truth. Notice how the author of the article does not attempt to deny to his Jewish audience the virulently hateful anti-Gentile Talmudic writings found in the Kitzer Shulach Arach. Every Orthodox Jew in Israel is aware of Talmudic hatred of Gentiles. The pervasive hatred that goes on in thousands of places in these volumes. Notice as well that Israel is demanding that Russia prosecute and imprison 5,000 intellectuals and leaders for simply expressing their opinion, for exercising what is called in the West freedom and freedom of speech. Of course, that's how they fight obvious truths. By intimidation and imprisonment of those who dare to speak them. Where are all the Jewish leaders who criticized the old Soviet Union for suppressing the speech of Jewish dissidents? Suddenly, suppressing dissident thought and opinion is justified and even desirable in the world's major press. Notice also how they quote parts of the letter which are clearly very accurate and truthful. They quote the 5,000 as saying that the United States has become an instrument for achieving the global aims of Judaism. If this is not true, then what is the Iraq War? For the Iraq War was clearly a strategic aim of Israel from the beginning and was completely orchestrated by the Jewish neocons and the Jewish-dominated American press. This war, of course, has been an unmitigated disaster for every true American interest, and has already cost the lives of almost 1,600 Americans and perhaps 20,000 wounded and maimed. It has cost a national treasure of more than $300 billion, trillions in higher oil costs, and made America a pariah around the world. In another line of the Jerusalem Post article, it says that the 5,000 allege that high-profile Jewish bankers have monetary control of the world. If that's not true, then who exactly is Paul Wolfowitz, the new head of the World Bank? Is not Wolfowitz a longtime radical Jewish supremacist supporter of Israel, now going to be in charge of hundreds of billions of dollars doled out by the World Bank to over 100 nations? Are we to expect that this evil man who manipulated America into war against Iraq for Israel will not now blackmail many nations needing support from the World Bank by basing that support on their own support for Israel and other Jewish interests, such as demanding the prosecution of the 5,000 patriots of Russia or the patriots of any nation who tell the truth about Jewish supremacism? Jewish power has already demanded, through their influence in the U.S. government, that Eastern European nations, such as the Baltic countries, cannot be admitted to the EU or to NATO unless they outlaw any dissent against Jewish supremacist hatred and oppression. No free speech for the patriots of Eastern Europe. As Representative Paul Findlay said so presently, Jewish power is like being in a room with a 500-pound gorilla, but nobody dares to mention that fact. It is obvious to anyone who looks into the issue. That's why Israel and Jewish supremacists around the world are so anxious to prosecute and imprison the courageous 5,000 of Russia and all the true patriots in the rest of the nations of the world. But the damning truth exposing Jewish supremacism is so strong and so obvious that millions all over the world are beginning to grasp it. As more people learn the truth, freedom for our people will not be far behind.
This has been David Duke for Our Heritage and Our Freedom.